My name is John Erling, and today's date is April 7th, 2023. Chief Standing Bear, would you state your full name, please?
Jeffrey Standing Bear. I'm Principal Chief of the Osage Nation.
Your birth date?
May 11, 1953.
Your present age?
I am going to be 70 here on May 11, 2023.
All right. And where are we recording this interview?
We are in Pawhuska, Oklahoma, which is about in the center of Osage County, Oklahoma.
All right. We have to talk to you about your last name, Standing Bear.
Mm-hmm.
How does that come about?
Well, my great-grandfather was Luther Standing Bear, and he was chief up at Rosebud with the Lakota Nation. My grandfather was born in Porcupine on the Pine Ridge Reservation, and he, during the 1920s, my grandfather, Eugene, went to Haskell Indian School in Kansas and became good friends with my Osage family and came down here. And it turns out that my great-grandfather and great-grandmother, the Osage, went to Carlisle Indian School in Pennsylvania, as did my great-grandfather, Luther, when they were all children. So they all knew each other from those days. Plus, the Osage and Lakota languages are related languages. We're Southern, the anthropologists would say, Siouan, which would include the Omaha, Ponca, Kaw, Quapaw with the Osage. And in those days, I was told in the 1920s, the Lakotas and the Osage could understand each other much better. So my grandpa told me, I came down here during the 1920s, a poor Sioux boy, and I ran into your Osage family, which my family, and they had a lot of money because of the oil. And he married into the family, and my father, George, was half Lakota and half Osage. And Standing Bear came with that, and get this. So one day in high school, I asked my grandpa, why does Dad have it Standing Bear one word? You have it one word, but your father has it two words. He said, well, when I came to Pawhuska, I got an allowance from all this oil money, your grandma. I went to the First National Bank in Pawhuska, and I gave him my name, Standing Bear, two words. And the banker said, you can't do that. It has to be one word. And so I changed it. And I said, Grandpa, are you telling me you changed our last name because of a banker in Pawhuska, Oklahoma? And he goes, yes. And I said, well, that's it. I'm going to go back to two words. So on my high school diploma, and from then on, it's two words.
It's probably what he had to do to get a loan, though, right?
Well, he didn't need a loan. Back in those days, the statistics show every Osage man, woman, and child was receiving the equivalent of $400,000 per year tax-free. There was no loans going on, and there was no financial education going on. There was no none of that financial literacy they talk about now, which we are now implementing through here. Can you imagine if we knew how to open bank accounts for ourselves instead of through the Guardian system, or if we knew how to get more than 1/8 or 3/16 royalties? If we did what a lot of companies do with other countries, joint ventures, 51-49. But instead, Continental Oil Company, now Conoco, now ConocoPhillips, Phillips Petroleum, Getty Oil, all these large companies started right here.
The 400,000, where was that coming from?
Oil and gas royalties. But as I was saying, can you imagine, that's based on 1/8 to 3/16 and the on royalty, which went to what we call a headright. And a headright was born out of federal legislation in 1906. We bought this reservation with our monies from Kansas, our sale of our lands. And we bought this reservation, 1.5 million acres almost, from the Cherokee. And so when we bought it, it was subject decades later to what they call the allotment process, where the lands of the Native tribes were divided into individual parcels. And the Osage were no exception, except for the minerals. And James Bighart, our chief, and the council negotiated a special and unique situation where we maintained ownership of the mineral communally, of the minerals, oil, gas, coal, not coal, well, coal if we ever find any, gravel, we do that. So when he did that, they said, well, how are we going to distribute money from that mineral estate? And so every one of the 2,229 Osages received what's called a head right, which is the right to receive income from this mineral estate, which is managed by the Bureau of Indian Affairs, a federal agency, which it is to this very day. Nowadays, because of the history of the Osage, some of that is in that Killer of the Flower Moon movie. The book is very well researched, documented by David Grand. You will see why today, of the 25,000 Osage people, only 5,100 have an interest in a head right. Some have two, most have a very small fraction of that 5,100, but the other 20,000 have none, zero. And John, let me tell you what was really crazy is until 2006, 100 years after the 1906 allotment, our right to vote and hold office in our own government was determined by how much property, that being a head right, that you owned. So if you were 18 and over and had a, or 21 and older, and had a three head rights, you got three votes. If you had none, you got none. So 80% of the Osage people were disenfranchised because our political rights were melded with our property rights. And of course, the property rights were under terrible stress. You can imagine how that translates politically and vice versa.
Who determined that the voting was to be determined by how many head rights?
The Bureau of Indian Affairs, through federal regulation, using the 1906 Allotment Act as a legal basis.